Yesterday, to the glory of God, we began on our first lesson, the process of salvation. And I had somebody saying this morning that she doesn't know whether or not if you don't get it, understand from the very beginning how to study your Bible, how to pray, if you don't understand what it means to be saved, whatever else you are building on it will be wrong and faulty. Do you understand? And that is why a lot of people are having problems today. That's why a lot of people can't study their own Bibles today. That's why a lot of people don't understand how to hear God, all of that. And that's why they go from church to church, from pastor to pastor, from prophet to prophet, and all of that. So when I said that RPDI Disciples Training School, it's actually this very first level of it, because we have several levels of it, this very first level of it is actually a foundational level. That's what I was talking about yesterday. We began in under the process of salvation, we began by talking about the need for recognition of sin. You remember that's what we dealt with yesterday. And I think the Lord helped us. We were able to really dig in deeply into that. So I will not linger there. Okay? For those who were not here yesterday, I will just paraphrase it simply as this. If you want to be saved and you don't go through the proper channels of being saved, you could be a bishop and you're not born again. Amen. It's possible. We have them all over. You know? And I remember saying cryptically yesterday, I said, the reason why there's a doorway is so that people can pass through the proper way to enter into a place. Is it not so? If you enter my house from the window, I can thump you on the head. I can attack you with anything. Why? Window is not where people enter in through. Jesus speaking in John chapter 15. He said, he that entereth not in by the door of the sheep. The same as what? A thief and a robber. Have you seen that place before? That's what Jesus said. Then he said, I am the door of the sheep. And he said, whoever enters in through me shall find pasture. So, Jesus had known that a time like our time will come when people will be entering through the roof and from under the ground. They won't pass through the door. Suddenly they are just born again. You know, suddenly God has called them. Under 6 months, the whole church is filled. The man is doing miracles everywhere and is not born again. Please, I beg you today, write out your questions. Whatever perplexes you, whatever you've seen, and like, but this thing I am saying, if a man of God, if God answers his prayer and he does miracle and all that, can it be false? Write it down so that we can answer you from the Bible. Do you understand? So that you're not confused. So that when you see these people, you easily know them and you're not deceived like the rest of the ungodly who have no hope beyond this world. So we said under that recognition of sin, which is point number one, it's right there, even though we're not treating it. We said man must know that he's a sinner. That, if you're going to enter in properly, that's where to start from. We don't enter into salvation through incentives, even though that is the basic thing that is used today in the body of Christ. We say, if you want fruit of the womb, you know, you can't really have this thing, you know, the only way to have it is if you are born again, so that whatever God has given you, you can keep it. So, but since you can't have fruit of the womb, the only way through which you have fruit of the womb is if you're born again. You don't understand. Being born again now sounds like a connecting flight. Do you understand? Let us say you're going to the US and you're traveling by plane, okay? Okay? Then you first of all stop at maybe Heathrow Airport in England, okay? And from there, let us just assume that the only way to get to America, okay? It's through Heathrow Airport in the UK. So what must you do first of all? You must get to Heathrow. Do you understand? Then from there, you go to your destination. So what does that mean? When fruit of the womb is your destination, what must you now do? You must be born again first of all, so that you can have fruit of the womb. No, it's not correct. It's not biblical. Check the New Testament very well. Men are not saved because they want fruit of the womb. You can have fruit of the womb and still go to hell. Amen. What God saves men from is not from economic crisis. You know, now that the government is the way it is and the economy of Nigeria is the way it is, then we are promising people, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That is a lie. I will give you rest is not economic rest. Yet, am I saying that there is no economic rest in Christ? There is. Am I saying that there is no peace in Christ, even financially? There is. But to call that salvation is one of the highest lies. Lies of the highest level. So we said, whoever must enter in properly must begin from understanding that he's a sinner. Amen. We continued by saying, whoever must be saved mustn't just know that he's a sinner, he must acknowledge his sins and his own sinfulness. Amen. Thirdly, we said, if you are ever going to be saved, you must know and it must be clear to you that the righteous God, what will he do? He will judge sin. He will not let sin pass anyhow. Why? Because God said, because the Bible says, God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, what happens? That and exactly that is what he will reap. Today, instead of preaching against sin, we say God is a God of mercy. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how dirty you are. Just raise your hands and tell him I receive mercy. And we said, for God to be God, for mercy to be mercy, there must be justice. Amen? 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 Are you getting it? Mercy can't be mercy when there's no justice. Neither can justice be justice if there's no mercy. That's the balance. That's what makes God God. Do you know that even under law, this logo is constantly the logo of legal services or the logo of the judiciary. Something like this. Right or wrong? Huh? One is mercy, the other is justice. Even human beings know that. But Christians say, no, my God is just what? Just a God of mercy. Let him just have mercy on me. And why do we say that? Well, even God knows nobody can be clean from sin. You know, that's our theology. We are so funny. And by that evil theology, we say, since nobody can be free from sin, we render the work on the cross invalid. We render the coming of Jesus hopeless and unnecessary. Since even after he came, he failed. Since we can't be holy. And since what he came to deal with is that we should be freed from sin and live above sin, as if the natural state of man before the fall was not holiness. Was not right standing with God. As if man had never lived like that before. So, since we have admitted that, well, we cannot go above sin, God must be merciful. Can you see now? That's the theology. And whoever believes that will go to hell. Do you know why? Several scriptures point to why Christ came. But the kind of salvation that we preach today is an irresponsible salvation. Grace without responsibilities. To just give me grace, Lord. Just give me grace. No, why grace is given is so that we can be useful. Why grace is given is so that as we now add our efforts, do you understand, to the help that God has rendered, we can become all that God has prepared and has planned that we should become. Why then did Jesus come? He came that we may be freed from sin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Isaiah 53, from verse 1 to 12, deals with all of that. John 1, verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hebrews 9, that for Christ has once come to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. Brethren, do you know the more reason why this matter is very important? I mean, this matter of recognition of sin. If you are sinful, you're not different from the devil. He's also sinful. Amen. As simple as that. And if you're not different from him, you have no authority over him. It's as simple. You know, I love Christianity because it's very simple. Anybody, you don't need one special wisdom to understand its teachings. You don't. God made it so simple so that it will be easy for anybody to receive. If we are in the class, if we are in the same class, are you my senior? Eh? We are in the same class. You are saying I should be calling you senior Dupe. And you sit even at the back. I'm sitting in front. So, the devil and his fallen angels and the sinful man, what are they? They are in the same class, except that the devil has spiritual powers, do you understand? And the fallen man or the sinful man has no covering. So then what happens now? He then lords it over him just as you have bullies in a class. Do you understand it now? It's as simple as that. Now, because Jesus does not want us to continue such struggles, God sent him, he came into the world, and to die for our sins. That's what he came to do. Now, we said, man must know that he's trapped under sin. And he must seek with no way out, okay? Then we said finally, he must seek the way out if he will ever be free. So many ministries in Nigeria today, and all around the world, so many of them will not have a ministry if they preach the whole truth. Amen. What is the point of praying for a woman constantly? And this woman that you are praying for is not saved. We are praying for her business. You are praying for her children. You are anointing them with oil. I don't know. Am I making sense to you? If somebody is not saved, is the person saved? Huh? No. You're not saved if you're not saved. So, I will leave point number one. That's why I just quickly summarized the whole thing that we learned yesterday. Number two, under the process of salvation. Remember I said that salvation is a process. There's a beginning point. There's a continuing. Or there are continuing points. Okay? And there's an ending point. That's the one we call glorification. And we'll get there. Okay? In the name of Jesus Christ. But atonement is the next one. Now, what is atonement? It is the satisfaction. It is the satisfaction offered to divine justice for the sins of mankind by the death of Jesus Christ. By virtue of which all true penitents believing in Christ are reconciled to God. By the virtue of which all true penitents believing in Christ are reconciled to God. Comma. Are freed from the penalty of their sins. Are freed from the penalty of their sins. Comma. and entitled to eternal life. Full stop. I want somebody to read for me 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. What does it say?
And he himself is the propitiation.
Propitiation, yes.
Propitiation for our sins.
Yes.
And not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
The word propitiation, okay, is the same word meaning, is the same word for atonement. Propitiation simply just means atoning sacrifice. Do you understand? What does the word propitiation mean? Atoning sacrifice. That's what it means. Now, atonement is a satisfaction that is offered to divine justice. Remember I said, God is not God if mercy and justice are not combined. So the mercy of God is what now? Huh? As far as sin is concerned, the mercy of God is what? Atonement. Do you understand that now? Okay, so we bring that mercy in order to fulfill that justice. I don't know. Are you following me? God will not just allow a sinner to go. You know, we say salvation is free. It's only for the receiver. Amen. What did it cost Jesus? Human salvation. What did it cost? Huh? His life. What did it cost God? His son, do you understand it now? But what did it cost man? Eh? No, it will cost you something. It will cost man faith. What will it cost you? Faith. That faith in what God has done. That's the only thing that frees you. Do you understand? Is faith money? Eh? Is faith landed property? Then God said, okay, I finished your work. Pay faith. He said, even that one I don't have. That's why people go to hell. When even that one, you don't have it. There's nothing anybody can do. So it is a satisfaction offered to divine justice for the sins of mankind by the death of Jesus Christ. Okay? Also Isaiah 53 from verse 1 to verse 12. Somebody to read that very quickly. Isaiah 53 from verse 1 to 12.
Who has believed our message?
Yes.
To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm?
Yes.
My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot.
Yes.
Like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance.
Hmm.
Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected.
Hmm.
A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief.
Hmm.
We turned our backs on him and looked the other way.
He
was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down.
Yes.
And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all.
The Lord did what? He laid on him the sins of us all.
He was oppressed and treated harshly.
Yes.
Yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier, because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels.
Amen. He you will understand it today in Jesus' name. Because the moment you understand it, something is going to happen to you. And the something that's going to happen to you is this. You will suddenly discover that you have been freed. And I have such freedom that Satan can't contest it. Did you hear what I'm saying? Huh? You have such freedom that Satan cannot do what? He can't contest it. He can't stand against it. That's why the devil made sure that the first thing that was obliterated, that is the first thing that was erased from the pulpits of the churches, is the finished work on the cross. For that's the real thing that frees and saves people. You see, now this calling the name of Jesus 3 times and 5 times and 7 times, bro, is because this thing was removed. Amen. How many times does God speak and it is done? Huh? Did Adam call the names of all the animals? The elephant, 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 before the name now stuck. Huh? When it says elephant, what happens? And when we look at elephant, is there a better name to call it? No. And who named them? A human being. And whatever name he gave them, that's their name. That, you know, it's as if, as he says that thing like this, what would they do in heaven? They take a stamp of approval and they do back. He will say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord of the blood of Jesus, fire of the Holy Spirit. It's because there's no more authority. That's why. If there was authority, there's no need. Somehow in your mind, you're like, it seems this name of Jesus is not as effective as, let's add fire of the Holy Spirit. See, thunder of God, or thunder of heaven, all manner of things that are not in the Bible. Why? Because people are not saved properly. I said once, if you don't want house fly in your house, what do you need to do? What do you need to do in your house if you don't want house flies, you know, perching everywhere? They are everywhere in your house. What do you need to do? Huh? Huh? Tidy up the place. Yes. What do you mean by tidy up the place? Disinfect. I don't know. Disinfect. Let's say your kitchen. You know, because you are talking toilet. You know. I didn't even say toilet. If you clean up the place, part of cleaning is disinfection. Is it not so? Where you don't clean, should you... Now, you're not taking broom. You'll be killing flies every time. You know, you'll keep taking broom. Until you have a broom ministry. You don't want demonic activities, get rid of sin. Simple. They are flies. Huh? That perch on refuse. Simple. That's what they are. So you don't want demons and devils around you. What do you just simply do? Huh? Take this matter of sin that I'm telling you. Take it seriously. And you just be hearing that. They went to somebody's house. So they called the person's name 3 times. And the person shouted, oh, from the bed and died. That's what you be hearing. Only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked. With your ear you hear. Say 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left. It will not touch you. For he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. 1,000 will fall at my right hand, 10,000 at my left. Do not come to me. Jesus. Oh, he suffered so much. Suffered so much. In fact, if you look at Isaiah 52, verse 14, the King James says, his visage was so mad that he above all humankind, or something like that. But one translation says, He suffered until he no longer looked human. And I wish that I have the Passion of the Christ here. I would have shown you what Jesus went through. He was so disfigured that when you see him, you'll be astonished, you are shocked. Want to move back, that what is this? Yet, it was for whose sin that he went through all that? Your sins and my sins. Many people were shocked when they saw him. He was so disfigured that he hardly looked human. That's what the good news says. I don't know what NLT says. Or CEV. Yes, it was CEV that I was quoting earlier. Many were horrified at what happened to him. But everyone who saw him was even more horrified because he suffered until he no longer looked human. Amen. You know, that's why I know that whoever is a false preacher who lies to people so that they can go to hell because he wants to build a career and make money. That's why me, I'm sure that next to Satan in the lake of fire will be false preachers. Not even fallen angels that fell with him. But they didn't cause the fall of anybody. But to stand in front of whole congregations and tell them, I know the way, when you are leading them away from God, to rubbish all that Christ suffered when you are not the one that died. What, how did Jesus curse the Pharisees? He said they will not enter into the kingdom of God. Then what are they doing? They are blocking the way for people to enter. They have said that they are not entering. They leave the way that people enter. No. So we must perish together. Atonement is a satisfaction offered to divine justice. So, for the sins of mankind, by the death of Jesus Christ, he suffered terribly. At a point when he was thirsty, they wanted to give him a drink. When he tasted it, he found out that he would become delirious. That means he will no longer, he will become numb to the pain. Do you understand? He spat it out and rejected it because he must suffer so that you won't have to suffer. So he did all that, and somebody will take that away from me. Me. They will fight. Because I know that it is what Jesus suffered that guarantees me life more abundantly. He rejected it, even though he was thirsty. Rejected it. Refused to take it. Why? He must suffer every bit. Bible says that so that by the grace of God he may taste death for how many people? Every human being. So people don't go to hell because they are sinful. Everybody is sinful or was sinful. Do you understand? People go to hell for rejecting what Christ has done for them. That's why they go to hell. Okay, you are owing me 1 million naira and I'm threatening to take you to jail. Do you understand? She offered to pay me the 1 million naira so that you can go free. You rejected it. Where will you end? It's deep, simple. You understand it now? That's the way it is. By the virtue of this sacrifice, all true penitents, the word penitent is a repentant person, somebody that wants to change, okay? All true penitents, believing in Christ, are reconciled back to God. The moment you put your hope and trust in the sacrifice of Jesus, what happens to you and God now? You are brought back to God. Now, when you are brought back to God, you don't need to know how to pray. You know, the way church people pray. You know, some people, they can be prayer contractors. When they pray, pray and when? You don't need to know how to pray like them. You only need to know how to talk. Whether in your heart or by your mouth to God. And what will he do? He will hear. Why? Because you have now been brought back to him as soon as your faith is rests upon what Christ has done. Most of the time, why people have problems with healing is that they trust the anointing of the preacher more than what Christ has done. Amen. All I need to do is stand where Jesus stood. AIDS will die. Amen. Who made man? Who said, I will not put all the diseases of Egypt on you? Huh? It's God now. Even people who minister so much healing and other people like Kenneth Hagin said it. There are two streams of healing. There's the healing of the anointing, there's the healing of teaching. And he said, any day, anytime, he prefers the stream of what? Teaching. So at that level, people can go home and they will remain free because they understand. You understand? Not that every small symptom they feel, hey, he's coming back again. He's coming back. Then you start looking for the preacher that pray for you. All I need to do is put my faith in what Christ has done. And nothing can challenge my freedom. And when something attempts to challenge my freedom, what do I need to do? I will say, in the name of Jesus, and I don't need to say it twice. Since Jesus is not dead, since he didn't go on a journey, since he didn't travel, since he's not slumbering, for he that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, he appears there in person. Because he's God. Hallelujah. And he knows every single person who puts his faith in him. He knows them by name. Said, I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. So we become reconciled to God. In Romans chapter 5, from verse 1, the Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen. I will rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Being justified by faith, what happens to us? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and therefore we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Having been made right by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, what do we have with God now? We have peace with God. We don't need to be sending somebody, please, pray for me, tell God to bless me. No, there's no need to do that. The enmity between us and God has been removed by the sacrifice of Jesus. All we need to do is come. Remember Hebrews 4:16? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in every time of need. We'll not be turned back. So, we are reconciled to God. We are freed from the penalty of our sins. What did I say? And that's important for you to realize. Yes, I was a sinner. Yes, I recognize my sins and my sinfulness. Yes, I know God must judge sin. God judged my sin in who? Huh? In Jesus. Do you get it now? My sins were fully atoned for. They were fully paid. I was trapped under sin until Christ freed me. I sought the way out because it's the way out. Do you understand? So therefore, if the Son of God sets you free, you're free how? You're free indeed. I hear men say today, even after you're born again, you must go for deliverance clinic, so that their salvation can be genuine. It's not true. When he died on the cross, what did he say? It is what? It is finished. That's what he said. Of course, we must deliver unbelievers from demon possession, and women who have been into prostitution from demon infestations and all that. Do you understand? But to be delivering a Christian, I've not seen it in the Bible. If you know where it is, show me. That somebody is a Christian. A Christian means somebody who is believing in who? Eh? Not somebody who was a Christian, that is, he believed in Christ. Christian means is what? Is believing in Jesus. And I must tell him, every enemy from your father's house. It could either be that me that I'm talking, I don't understand what Christ has done. Huh? Or the person who said he believes in Jesus has not met Jesus, doesn't know Jesus, and doesn't understand that the consequences and the penalties of sin were paid for in the sacrifice of Jesus so that I can be free. We are freed from penalty of sin. So if you're here, you used to have a lot of self-condemnation. When you have done something wrong, the devil tells you, you know, God cannot deceive you again. You are so dirty. You are so this and that. I want to show you just one scripture. You know, I love Jesus. It's in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. What does it say?
Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him.
He is able to save to the uttermost that come unto him.
He lives forever to intercede.
Seeing he liveth forever to make intercession for them. Who has Amplified Bible? Wherefore is able to save.
Therefore, he is able also to save forever.
He is able also to save how?
Forever.
When he saves you, how does he want to save you? Forever. He wants to keep you safe for how long? Forever and ever and ever. What does that forever mean?
Completely.
Jesus can save you completely. Do you understand? When he saves you, he doesn't leave residues that flies can come and perch upon. When he saves you, he doesn't leave any work left for a preacher to see the enemy from your father's house that's not troubling you. He doesn't leave such things. Today, Allah should pay in Jesus. What is it? He's one who works completely. Yes?
Perfectly for eternity.
God. My sister, calm down. Don't be near. I love Jesus. Not only does he save completely, what does he do also? He saves perfectly. When it's done, nothing can be added to what he has done. Remember what I said when we started yesterday. If you don't believe correctly, whatever you build on it can never be correct. Amen. There's nothing, as it is known in Nigeria today, there's nothing called the Separate Deliverance Ministry. It's not biblical. I'm not saying we don't conduct the deliverance. We do. Do you understand? But you know, what we deal with is devils and all of those kind of things. For what is salvation? Salvation is deliverance from sin and the consequences of sin. What is salvation? It's deliverance from sin and the consequences of sin. And the number one consequence of sin is death that made it possible for the devil to have control over men, because they have fallen from their place of authority that is in God. So when you go to those deliverance churches, you know more devils than you ever knew about Jesus. Names of devils, you know, 70 mad spirits, this one, that's all you know. What do you want to do with that? What do you need that for? He's able to save. Yes?
Those who come to God through him.
Who come to God through him.
Since he always lives to intercede and intervene on our behalf with God.
You missed that last point. Therefore, is able to save forever, that is completely, perfectly, for eternity. And there's just only one thing you need to keep doing. You just need to keep believing in him. That's all. I've walked in more victories in my life by simply believing in what Christ has done than night of night vigil, honestly. Satan will say, come down from here. I said, no, if I come down from here, I'm in trouble. You come up. If they burn you, well, come up here. Jesus finished you at Calvary. Did he not? Say, let's not talk about Calvary. No, let's talk about Calvary. It was a complete work. I don't know how to say it in English. You couldn't recover strength. That's what he did. So, if I tell somebody who has HIV AIDS and say to the person, or prostate cancer, For the name of Jesus, how many knee will bow? Every knee will bow. Of beings in heaven, of beings on earth, of beings under the earth. And I say, this is what Christ has done. And the person put his hope only in what Christ has done. The Bible says, thy words were found and I did eat them. And what happened? He said, it became health to my flesh. Amen. There was a movement in the early 50s led by men who understood the Bible. They don't use drugs, though. Their tablet is the Bible. He said, that's extreme. We could say that. But see, faith is what? It's extreme. Do you understand? I use drugs. I'm not against drugs because I've seen the Bible say, I've given you herbs to eat. Abi? So, but they had so much faith that even when they fall sick, they will keep standing by the word of God. And they will get healed again. They will get better again. For grace that will be led by men again in Jesus' name. That will not be children that will remain on our pulpit again. Is able to save. Completely, perfectly, for all eternity, those who come to God through him. Why is he able to do that? Since he always lives to intercede and intervene on their behalf with God. Let me tell you something. It's not the day you get born again that you learn to free from sin. That you learn how to be free from sin, okay? Even though you have been taught that that is the truth and that is the truth. You understand? But in practice, you make mistakes. Is it not so? Sometimes you may even backslide. But the truth is this. As long as you're willing to come back, God knows that when you are growing up, when a toddler is growing up, what is the constant thing the toddler will be doing? What is the constant thing? Falling. Do you see the parents take care? Say, you are falling again, you are falling again. Because they are not devils. If they were devils, that would have been appropriate. You understand? But they are human and they know it takes some constant practicing to be able to walk. You have not been walking before. Do you get it now? So there will be that period in your life when you are struggling to pray, you are struggling to live holy, you are struggling. And God understands that. He knows that. He knows that if the Holy Spirit is going to work in your life to produce fruit in your life, God knows the process of fruit making because God made trees, right or wrong. He knows it must start by seed, and the seed is the word of God. He knows that that seed will have to die in the ground, okay? Produce roots, Abby, then go up as a young shoot. After a while, it will grow up into a tree. Is it not so? It's after it grows into a tree that it begins to do what now? Produce fruit. So we understand that fruit bearing takes a process. If one is spiritual, we understand all those things. But why it is a problem is because discipleship was also omitted. You understand? So instead of watching over you and telling you, no, do it this way, no, go that way. When they see that you are constant a bit, they say that sister is vibrant. Then they give you all manner of things to do. Before you know it, the small fire that you are trying to gather is quenched. The heaven church is where, when the fire is quenched and you say, my it's not the way it used to be before, my spiritual life has died. They say, you are carnal. Let God meet you serving him. Somebody says that, yes, it's no longer working with God. You are saying, instead of giving freedom so that, go, take as much time as you need so that you can recover in your spirit. Say, no. Is it not God that we are serving him? Number one, under atonement. Since sin will always be punished by God, for the penalty of sin is death, a sinner who doesn't want to die for his sins must find and bring a substitute that will die in his place. Write it. Will God always punish sin? I'm sure you know the answer to that is yes, he will. So now that you know you are a sinner and you don't want to die for your sins, what must you do? You must seek I'll find a substitute that can die in your place. Do you remember Israel in the olden days? What did they normally bring for their sin offering? Huh? Animals. Are we? Ram. Sheep. Okay? Some who are poor and that cannot afford ram or sheep, they will bring a purple dove. That's a small bird. And sacrifice that sin offering that God will substitute, since you will not free me, substitute this animal for me. Do you get it now? Substitute it. Let it die in my place so that I may live.
Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Atonement, another word for it is substitution. What's another word for it? Substitution. Do you understand now? So, all what you owe has been put on Christ so that you can be led free. Okay? Since sin will always be punished by God, for the penalty of sin is death, a sinner who doesn't want to die for his sin must find and bring a substitute that will die in his place. Now, that's what Jesus did. He came, he died in our place. And when he died in our place, he did such a perfect work that, is it righteous to pay the same debt twice? Huh? Is that justice to pay what you owe twice? If the cost of one's offense is death, and the wages of sin is death. If Christ has died, do I need to die again? No. Please, do we understand it now? And this is why the devil made sure that this issue of what Christ did is hidden from the body of Christ. Men who preach it are seen as unserious people who don't want to, you know, they're not going anywhere to happen. They just want to die and they just want rapture to happen. But that is where the power of God lies. That's what renders the devil impotent. That is what strips him of all his power and deny him of every claim. Deny him of what? Every claim that he may say he has or he has over any life. The sacrifice of Jesus, the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus, removes all that. Exodus 13, verse 13. Exodus 13, verse 13. Who is reading?
Exodus.
Yes. Yes.
But if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck.
Yes.
However, you must buy back every firstborn son.
In Israel, there were clean and unclean animals. Do you understand? For instance, the donkey is an unclean animal. Okay? Okay? But the sheep is a clean animal. So, since God owns all the first fruits, that is, all the... That is all the firstborn of animals, okay? Or the first harvests of farm produce, okay? You know? So, Israel, normally, every harvest time like that, present the first one. Huh? Now, which animal gives birth to only one? Which animal gives birth to only one? Have you seen the animal before? that whenever I want to deliver, it's just only one to deliver. Even rat. How many will rat deliver? Huh? How many? At least six. So let's say we want to give first fruit out of the rat. What are we supposed to give? Huh? You don't know. Sorry? No, you don't give six. You give the first one that opened the womb. You give one out of six. The love of money, what it has turned the church to. Even the people that are farmers and all of that, what is the first ones that they will bring? The first ones that you notice that boarded. And the first ones that boarded, do you notice that the way God made it, God is a kind God. He's not a taskmaster. What happens already? Smaller ones will start coming out. So what is supposed to be your first fruit? The first ones that are right. Even when you have removed them, what's happening now? Do you need to wait 2 weeks or 1 month again? January is such a difficult month. Do you need to wait like that? It is well. Don't ask me a question on that. I've explained. And I know you understand in Jesus' name. That is so clear. So clear. And what it even meant in the Old Testament is not what it meant in the New. So I don't have time for all that, okay? But Jesus is our first fruit. Amen. Who was Jesus? It is well. And I can show you from scripture. It's not just say, oh yeah, show us. Where is everything? I will show you. I'll show you because it's there. It's just difficult to find ministers that are genuine and are not constantly after your money. It's difficult to find that. Now, because one is clean and the other is unclean, I mean the donkey and the sheep, okay? Now, when, and since God must own every first fruit of the animals and all of that, the way to then redeem a donkey is by offering in its place, do you understand now, a sheep. That way you are able to take it back. Since you have brought it to God, since he won't collect it because he feels clean, okay? He will then take a sheep in exchange for the donkey. Okay? But he said, if you say, I don't want to redeem it, he will say, I'm not giving you. You must break it now. Do you understand it now? That's what that scripture is saying. And we use it as a substitution to explain what substitution means, because you are substituting a lamb for the donkey. Do you get the idea now? In the same way, since man is sinful, okay, God is saying, I will not receive what is sinful. Do you understand? Yet I will not let you go. You see that there's a fix. I'm not collecting it and I don't want it to go. I want to punish it. So what happens now? We present a lamb. Jesus. The lamb of the world. John chapter 1 verse 29. Okay? The lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Okay? But what if I don't want to be redeemed? What happens? I must still die. That's why I said, break its neck. It's not going anywhere. Do you get the idea now? And that's how we saw that there's no name under heaven by which you will be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why Christianity is also not a religion. It is simply a relationship with God. Please, do we understand it? Because it is the way by which man is restored or returned back to God. Amen. Number two, under atonement. The atonement must be without defects. The atonement must be without defects. Symbolizing its fitness. Symbolizing its fitness to be the guiltless substitute. The atonement must be without defect, or it must be perfect, okay? Symbolizing its fitness to be the guiltless substitute for a guilty offerer. Full stop. Don't worry, if you didn't hear me well, it should be written on the board, okay? Let's go to Exodus 12, verse 5. Exodus 12, verse 5.
The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects.
The animal you select must be what?
Must be a one-year-old male.
Must be a one-year-old lamb. Yes.
Either a sheep or a goat.
Yes.
With no defects.
It must have no defect. What do you mean by no defect? Not that one eye is paining it. The other one is not. It won't go bye-bye. And since it is useless to you, you can't sell it in the market. You want to offer God. Huh? It must symbolize a guiltless substitute for the guilty offerer. Do you understand it now? So what are we talking about? Jesus must be without sin. If he wants to free me, who is sinful? If not, he's not qualified. Now, tell me, in the history of the world, how many sinless men have ever lived? Amen. Jesus said, which of you can accuse me of sin? Hallelujah. Who can accuse Jesus of sin? I want us to read two scriptures more about this. 1 Peter 1:19-20. And 1 Peter 3:18. That one in Amplified Bible. That 1 Peter 3:18 will be in Amplified Bible. The 1 Peter 1:19-20 can be from any translation.
First Peter 1:19-20.
Yes.
It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God.
It was the what?
The precious blood of Christ.
It was the precious blood of Christ.
The sinless.
Spotless.
Lamb of God.
Lamb of God.
God chose him as your ransom.
Yes.
Long before the world began.
Yes.
But now in these last days.
Yes.
He has been revealed for your sake.
Amen. Sinless and spotless. Sinless and what? So that when you apply it, it wipes everything out. Clean. Since he himself is what? He is clean. I love Jesus. If Satan symbolizes germs and disease and all of those things, what is Jesus? What will he symbolize? I think like a disinfectant, have you? Does disinfectant and germ, do they mingle? When the presence of one, I hope you know, is the absence of the other. Huh? Now, let me ask you this very clear question. Can sin and righteousness live in the same life? Do you understand it now? Is it, even humanly speaking, is it possible that germs will be alive inside the same container where there's disinfectant? Huh? No. Even biology teaches us that. How much more spiritual biology? Hallelujah. Where there's sin, God must vacate the place. But if God comes in there, one must die. Sin must die. But we have formed a church where both sin and righteousness cohabit. Every morning. Neighbor, good morning, neighbor. The same life. It must be that we are liars. It's not possible. Is it possible in the same room for light to be on one side, then darkness? So say, we are APC. No, we are PDP. I don't know which is dark or which is light. But is it possible that in the same room, there will be light and darkness in the same room? Is it possible? It's the same. So even physics teaches us that. So what about spiritual physics? There can't be light and darkness in the same life. It's not possible. There can only be what? 1 Peter 3:18 now from Amplified Bible.
For Christ the Messiah himself died for sins once for all.
Yes.
The righteous for the unrighteous.
Yes.
The just for the unjust.
Yes.
The innocent for the guilty.
Yes.
That he might bring us to God.
Why? What's the purpose of Jesus dying? That he might bring us. Please come, come. I like to illustrate so that it's clear. Okay? The innocent for the guilty. The pure for the impure. Why was he doing that? So that he can bring us by hand to God. Yes?
In his human body, he was put to death.
That he might bring us to God. Thank you. Now, when somebody has been brought to God, what does that person need again? Or maybe you don't understand, why is he bringing us to God? Jesus, he has come to report us. He's not a devil. It's the devil that accuses. He brought us to God to restore us back home. We were lost. Do you understand? He came to look for us. Now that he has found us, he brings us back where now? He brings us home. Now, after he has brought you back home, how can enemy of your father's house come there again to God's throne? To say, it's so special. It's not possible now. It's not possible. He came to bring us to God. Which devil can come into the presence of God? You know, I'm a parent, alright? You can't come into my house and beat my children if I have power to flog you very well. Sure, you know. If you do that, I won't get to your house. I'll flog you from inside my house. Who is as powerful as God? So you will come to God's children, put your manner and things on them, and God will be there. You say, ha 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 ha, and he'll just be looking. God, that me, I know. Must you that you have believed another God? Are you getting it? We have been deceived. We have been lied to. We have been robbed. Jesus died to bring me to who? And when I see God, what's he's coming to introduce me. See, this is your father that you were lost, that you had lost. Say, how do I talk to him? He say, after this manner, pray ye, our Father. So I will be repeating, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. In fact, in one place, if Jesus was praying, and he said, I want them to know that you have loved them just as you have loved me. When I saw that scripture, I said, yea, God loves me the way he loves Jesus. I don't have a problem again. So I don't need to go and meet some people and say, sir, if only God can just help me. Say, Wole. That's it. He will even pray for you. No, I don't need to say that. I can talk to God, whether I'm in the toilet, whether I'm in the bathroom, whether I'm on my bed, wherever I am, I have this freedom now. I can talk to God because Jesus died to bring me back in, to bring me back home. That's why he died. We just read it. Didn't you just read it? Or are we making this one up too? We just read it. Now, when that young boy, the prodigal son, when he returned home in his rags, what was the first thing that happened to him? That father said after he hugged him in his rags. What was the first thing the father said? Yes, my son was lost and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Before then, he said something. No. Before then, he said something. Before that statement, he said something. You know, the boy said, Father, I'm sorry, all of that. All of that. The first thing the father said is that, remove this dirty clothes. Put a golden ring on his hand, put turban on his head, dress him well. Then, go and kill the fattest cow. Why? Because my son who was lost has been found. So, even if I come with my disease, hallelujah, even if I come with my insecurities, even if I come with all my issues, what's the first thing that he will do? He removes them. That's the first thing he does. It's also in Zechariah chapter 3 from verse 1 to 4. The same thing was there. He removes the dirty robe. Even when Satan is standing there accusing me, he says to him, the Lord rebukes you. For this is a brand that was plucked out of the fire. And what then will he do? He will say, change his clothing. Make him clean again. That's what he does. He removes them. absolute substitution. He died so that I can come back to God. Now, brethren, there can be only one type of atonement that will satisfy divine justice. And it cannot be blood of animals. Amen. The substitute can only be the blood of a man, a perfect man. Do you understand? In the olden days in Israel, when they offer animals, what happens is this. By the sacrifice of those animals, their sins are covered. Their sins are what? Not blotted out. Okay? Because those animals that were sacrificed are simply shadow of the substance that is to come, which is Christ. Do you understand? And they couldn't finish the whole thing completely in order to show that it is Christ that is actually coming to free us from everything that is wrong with us. Do you understand it now? Huh? Because if the blood of animals could have saved us, do we need Jesus? But they will have to be offering the blood of animals until Christ will come. Okay? As an imperfect substitute for the perfect substitute that is yet to come. As a sign that somebody is coming, that eventually when he comes, will not be completely set free. Do you understand? Number four. Don't worry, we'll write everything on the board with the scriptures. Only one perfect man had ever walked this earth since the fall of Adam. It is the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, or the Anointed One, or the Christ. And this is the meaning of Messiah or Christ, the Anointed One. Anointed for what? That is the sole representative of and substitute for mankind, acceptable in heaven. That's the meaning of the word Christ. The Anointed One, who is supposed to be the representative of man, and the substitute for man that heaven will accept. Can there be two messiahs? Can there be two Christs? There can only be one. Even the one, Jesus Christ. The final one here. The overall mission of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is to live a perfect, sinless human life before God and die as a perfect substitute for the sins of man, so that every man that clings to his sacrifice will be fully atoned for. He was delivered up for our transgression, but he was raised for our justification. Amen. So, the purpose why Jesus came was twofold. To live a perfect human life, so that when we are now returned to God, and we are wondering, but how will I live a kind of life that God will accept? We can see the life and example of Jesus. Do you understand it now? As the lifestyle that God wants. 1 Peter 2:21 says that, for even hereunto were you called, Christ died for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. You understand that? 1 John 2:6 says that, whoever says a Christian ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. Or as the Living Bible says, whoever says a Christian must live his life the way Jesus Christ lived. So, he lived a perfect human life for two reasons. Number one, to be our perfect substitute when it's time to die. Number two, to live an exemplary life. To show us what it means to walk with God. What it means to have a relationship with God. What it means to be a child of God. To show us how to measure spiritual growth. For it is by his life. How much we look like him. How much we behave like him, how much we think and talk like him, that's how spiritual we really, really are. Do you understand it now? It's not how much anointing we have gathered, it's not how powerful spiritually we are. No, that's not how we know. How we know is how much are we like Jesus. That is a measure of spiritual growth. That was why he came, that's why he lived, that is why he died. We are close to asking our questions, but I want us to pray first of all. Amen. I want you to claim his atonement. When you are atoned for, all that you owe is paid for. The atonement of Jesus covers us spirit, soul, and what? And body. So whether the problem is sin in your spirit or defilements and contaminations in your spirit, or sins and defilement and contaminations in your soul, or sickness or disease or whatever it is in your body, I want you to claim what Christ has done by faith. And as you claim it, you will see Jesus showing up for you, even in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Is there anything that has held you down before now? I want you to speak into those things. Whatever fear, whatever condition, whatever circumstance, whatever situation, I want you to speak to it. That whoever Jesus sets free is free indeed. Jesus has set me free. I stand only in the freedom brought by Jesus Christ. Therefore, I decree my freedom. Whatever that has been spoken over my life, that is false, that it was not God that said it, and it has had effect up till now, I decree in the name of Jesus Christ that its effect stops this morning. For it is Jesus that died, and those whom Jesus died for, those whom Christ has freed, they are free how? They are free indeed. Therefore, I decree my future is secure. My destiny is intact. All that God has ordained that I will become it. For I have obtained mercy through the grace of God that was brought to me in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I declare myself free on the testimony, or based on the testimony of Jesus Christ. I declare myself free. I declare an end to all works of darkness in my life. I declare an end to all effect of unrighteousness in my life. I declare an end to doubt and accusations that comes from the enemy. I've been freed by Jesus, so I'm free indeed. Therefore, I decree freedom to my spirit. I decree his freedom that he has paid for with his own blood to my soul. I decree freedom to my body. I decree whatever God has not put in me, I decree that it dry up from their roots. Whatever God has not spoken over me, I decree an end to them. Even in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, because you are true. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, according to your word, you said, as I live, as you have said in my ears, so will I do unto you. As you have said in your hearing this morning, do to us in Jesus' name. That which we have asked in your name, that which you have decreed in your name, cause your stamp of approval to come upon it now. To the glory of your name and to the honor of your majesty. Thank you because you are faithful. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Questions? We're supposed to go on break by 11. And we didn't ask any questions yesterday because there was no time. So we can ask our questions now.
From yesterday class.
From yesterday. Yes. Okay.
You said, for every man who must be born again.
Yes.
Must experience this physical birth and spiritual birth.
Yes.
I want more clarification on physical birth and spiritual birth.
More explanation.
Yes.
Okay.
And concerning the physical birth and spiritual birth, like physical birth, why do we focus more? Why do I don't know, why do Christians focus more on physical birth than the spiritual birth? Or which one must come first before
the other?
The other.
Physical birth always comes first. And what I meant by that is being born by your mother. That's simply what I meant. You have to come into this world first. Abi? And the way to come into this world is that one woman must give birth to you. Huh? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about fruit of a womb. Maybe you thought that's what I was talking about. No. But even though you are right, people do more about that. It's a cultural issue. It's not a spiritual issue. Because me too, I have a child now. God has given me baby. For what? We don't know. Because you don't even know why you're alive. You know, but we shall have baby too. Everybody has baby. Oh. Piglets. And pigs do have piglets. We too now. We're not barren. We have baby. Okay? Human beings do all that. It's not spiritual. It's just a cultural thing. Because everybody does. So me too, I do. Okay, but that wasn't what I was talking about. I was talking about being born two times. You are born physically first, but you must be born again. You must be born a second time again by the Spirit of God if you are ever going to be a child of God. That's what I was talking about. And the way to be born and the proper process to be born is now what we were explaining. You understand? That's what we meant. Thank you. Very good question. Questions? Yes, Sister Happiness.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We have some teachings like after giving your life to Christ and you fall into hell or you backslide, that the person's name, okay, we know that we have homes in heaven. Some people will say the house that God has been building for you, that it will demolish it, and your offerings and everything that's going to go away, and you now have to start again. And so I want clarifications on that. Is it that when somebody falls into sin, and does it mean the person's name will be removed from the book of life and you now have to start?
Very good question. I think in part I answered it while I was teaching. But let me begin from where you stopped at. The house God is building in heaven, he will demolish it. Where is it written? Do you understand? Let the person show me in the Bible that when somebody backslides to the house God was building for the person in heaven, what happens to it? That they now bring caterpillar and PSP. They now demolish the whole thing, and as they have demolished it now, they pack all the whatever and say, he has backslided. Heaven would look like a caricature place if that's what constantly happens. What if the person now comes back? They start building again. He has come back though. It's summer. You understand? But is the name removed from the book of life? We must understand there's a difference between falling into sin and living in sin. They are not the same. Amen. Falling into sin, you could both call them backsliding. Do you understand? But they are not the same thing. Falling into sin is you stumbled into sin and you struggled to come out, or you're struggling to come out. Do you understand? And as you walk with God, that will happen to you. Not once, not two times. Like I was talking about that little child that was stumbling. That keeps falling, a toddler. That after a while, that period, after you now grow that period, what happens to you now? You stand. Are you getting it? So God knows that there's that period. Living in sin is that this person, that is his lifestyle. When falling into sin is not handled properly, somebody begins to do what now? Live in sin. Do you get it now? That's how it works. But if falling into sin was handled properly, and I'll tell you how it's handled. If it was handled properly, the person will be restored back to his relationship with God. Let me simplify it for you. Somebody stumbled into sin, did something he wasn't supposed to do, but still knows that Jesus is the only person that can save him. And wants to come back to Jesus, even if he doesn't know how. Is that a child of God? Or you don't know? I'm asking all of you. A person stumbled into sin, But knows that the only sacrifice for sin is Jesus Christ, and still believes in Jesus Christ, even though currently he and God they are not okay because of some things he has done. He may not even know the way to come back or how to come back. Some of us come back with so much self-pity, okay, and all of that. Some, there's so much self-accusation. Some, they don't forgive themselves. You understand? But that person wants to come back. Is that the child of God? Huh? Oh, you don't know. Oh, yeah. Is he a child of God? Is he a child of God? He's a child of God. Huh? He's a child of God. Is that, who wants to say no? He's not a child of God now. He has fallen into sin. Nobody. Why is this a child of God? He wants to return. Okay. Yes? Because he has faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, correct. What did the prodigal son say? I will return to who? But when I get home, what will I tell him? I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But it's difficult out there. Let me be a servant here. At least I'll have something to eat. I'll no longer be sharing food with animals. Do you understand? I want to return. Did he get home before his father ran to go and meet him? When he was still far away from the house and the father saw him, the father left the house. Ran to meet him. Embraced him. Kissed him and fell upon him. The son didn't say, even though I wasn't expecting this, well, let me do as if. He didn't do that. Because he has come to himself. Do you understand? He has seen that he was a sinner. He has seen that he's sinful. Do you understand? He has seen his sinfulness. He has seen his actions. He has seen the things he's capable of doing. Are you getting it? And he knows that judgment will fall upon him. But he's coming, the Lord be merciful to me. If, you know, I said to him yesterday, I said, people who are church people easily return to sin because salvation didn't cost them anything. So he's a child of God. Now, the one who fell into sin and continued in sin, is that a child of God? Who is his father? The devil. Simple. That's the way to explain it. When somebody stumbles and falls into sin and says, well, I fall in, so what's there? That's a child of the devil. He has been looking for ways to fall before. So this one just presented a good opportunity. Do you understand? That's the meaning in prophecy in the book of Isaiah, that a smoking flax he will not quench. Once there's a spark of faith, Jesus would be patient there. He will stay there to be fanning it until that tiny thing blows and becomes a raging fire. I've often heard some people, you know, when it's time to marry, that's when you see how much people are in the flesh. I was ministering somewhere, and so I don't know what led to asking questions about who you want to marry and all of that. What happens if she's not a virgin, blah, blah, blah. Several of the very spiritual brothers stood up and they said, no, you know, they can't marry such a person. After that, I allowed them all to talk. So I asked them, bro, if you are a virgin, stand up. What did Jesus say about that woman caught in adultery? Whichever of you has no sin, let him cast the first stone. Then I saw how all of them just slunk down. Said, after you have damaged other women, you want an undamaged woman. Whatever people sow, that's what they reap. That's not to say that you must always marry something. I'm just explaining. Do you understand? But it's injustice to have tasted everything you shouldn't have tasted. And to be saying, God, listen. Sure, you know it's injustice. Yes, if you walk with him by mercy, he could give you. Do you understand? And that something had happened to somebody's past, doesn't mean that's who that person is before God. And for you to be bringing up such evil shows that you're not a godly person. You are in the flesh. Simple. As the east is far from the west, so has it removed from us our sins. Is that not what the Bible says? You are now the one remembering those sins. So if you have no sin, no, cast the first stone. I mean, if God had asked me to marry a prostitute, I would have. Amen. I know some of my brothers are not yet that. Ah. Bro. But I know God, whom I serve. He will never push me somewhere that is evil or bad for me. Do you understand that? That's the reason why I said so. Yeah, and he that is forgiven much, how does he love? Loves much. So if I'm forgiven much, I should be able to love much. And love covers a multitude of what? Of sin. Okay? Have I answered that question? I think it's two questions you asked. Or is it one? It's two in one. I answered only one. What was the second one? Yes. The person's name is only erased after the period of grace has been exhausted and after every avenue for grace, okay, and reconciliation has been exhausted. It's only when the person wants to continue in willful sin. The moment he wants to continue in willful sin, his name is removed. Do you understand? But if it was a mistake because of his imperfections, mistake because he's not yet skillful in the word of righteousness or in living the Christian life, his name is still restored pending the time is restored. God is not a taskmaster. You understand? Then I said, when somebody stumbles into sin, how is it handled? Galatians 6 verse 1. If you are, the principle of God is this, and it's based on two scriptures. If you come to confess it, I did this wrong, you'll obtain mercy. Amen? If you are caught, you'll be treated like an armed robber. I don't know. Do you understand? If you fell into sin, but you opened up, you owned up to your faults and all of that, you not only receive mercy, God commands us to restore you. Do you understand? And that's why I want to show us those scriptures. But if it is that you were caught, that is, if you were not caught, what would have been happening? You'd have continued that life. You'd be treated like a robber, like an armed robber. Do you understand? That's the normal Christian principle of how sin is dealt with. Okay? Galatians 6 verse 1.
Brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin,
yes,
you who are spiritual,
if you are truly spiritual,
that is, you are who, that is, you are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit.
Yes.
Are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness.
How do you do? You restore. That's what you always look for. When somebody is caught up in a sin or in a fault, opens up on it, you restore. That's what you do. And you restore in a spirit of what?
Gentleness.
Meekness. Don't restore by saying, look, be humble. Because you are not above sin yourself. You could be tripped up also and fall into sin. Even with that same thing that's happening to that other person.
Not with a sense of superiority.
Not, can you see that? Not in a sense of what? Superiority. Don't feel that you're superior because you're not. Yes?
Or self-righteousness.
Or self-righteousness. You now put your nose in the air. And do. Brethren, we need to pray for Sister Peju. She's pregnant again. That's gossip. It's supposed to be a prayer meeting. And you explain how or what happened, all the juicy news that we missed. You reminded us. In our self-righteousness. Okay, love covers a multitude of sin. Love doesn't keep record of wrong. Yes?
Keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well.
Thank you. Proverbs 28 verse 13. Proverbs 28 verse 13. What does it say?
He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper.
When somebody covers his sins, he won't prosper. Adam and Eve tried it. They got punishment in return. You don't cover sin, because sin will not cover you. What did I say? Oh, have you read that scripture that says, or have you seen that Bible verse that says, for your sins shall find you out? Eh? Why you hide your sin? Sin will not say, come and see, oh, he has hidden me here. This is where he hid me. Sin won't hide. You that you are trying to hide it, you think you are doing it a favor. It won't repay you with that same favor. It won't. Yes?
But whosoever confesses and turns away from his sins will find compassion and mercy.
Yes, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. So the basis of mercy is what? Confession and forsaking. Not confession and confession. Or not confession and returning to sin, then confess again, return to sin, then confess again. No. When we confess our sins, we forsake that sin. That is, when we repent, we return. Do you understand? To repent is to stop in the direction you're going, about turn, then do what now? Return back again in the opposite direction. Not that you keep repeating the same thing and say, God forgive me, God forgive me. No, that's a sinner. That's somebody who wants to perpetually live a life of sin. Okay? I think I've answered your question now. Questions from yesterday, from today? Yes.
My question is, what's the essence of baptism? And can somebody be baptized more than once?
What's the essence of baptism? Is it water baptism? Water baptism. And can somebody be baptized more than once? The essence of baptism is a spiritual, a physical symbol of a spiritual reality. Do you understand? I'll explain. It's a symbol, okay? It's a physical symbol of a spiritual reality. When we come into Christ, we're baptized into Christ. Do you understand? That is, we were enveloped in Christ, okay? Now, to explain to us and to explain to other people that enveloping, that being covered in Jesus Christ, that being in Christ has happened to us, we do water baptism. Water baptism doesn't wash our sins away. The blood of Jesus took care of that, okay? But as we are dipped in water, you know, the water will cover how many places? Huh? Everywhere. It then tells us what has happened to us spiritually. That by coming to Christ, Jesus will have, or wants to have access to where now? Every area of our lives. Okay? So, when we come out of water, we have identified physically and publicly with Jesus Christ that we are His. Okay? And it's just simply, like I said, a symbol of the spiritual reality of coming into Christ, or baptism into Christ. Because another word for becoming born again is that I'm baptized into Christ. Okay? That's the essence of water baptism. Secondly, can somebody be baptized more than one time? It doesn't matter. Because it doesn't have any spiritual significance. You understand? There are times when you attend a church, they will say, no, we must baptize you. No problem. Okay? So you can be baptized more than once. It doesn't signify anything. You know, it's symbolic. In nature.
Were you raising your hand?
Yes.
How do I balance self-condemnation from telling myself the truth that I'm a sinner? Because most times, when I want to preach the word of God to people, I'll be like, let me do it my own self first before I tell others. So how do I balance them?
Very, very important question. A round of applause. How do I balance self-condemnation with telling myself the truth that I'm a sinner? My sister, I am not a sinner. Do you understand? A sinner is somebody who lives in sin. That's the second definition. You know the first definition. A sinner is somebody who is sinful by nature. Is somebody who the nature of Jesus Christ has not entered into. Do you understand? And therefore, even if he goes on sinning all the day for 2 weeks, that he doesn't sin in 2 weeks, what is he? In his holiest, in the holiest moment of a sinner, what is he? He's a sinner. You understand now? So, that is that. What Christ came to deal with is sin. Okay? Now, but if I stumble into sin, and I've asked for forgiveness, and I make sure I don't return to that thing, if self-condemnation comes, you can deal with that. Do you understand? You don't understand. Which one, which side is it that you don't understand? You believe you're a sinner. Is it from there? If you believe you're a sinner, it's because you're not saved. Do you understand? That's the truth. That's the truth. The moment you're saved, can you be both sinner and saint? Can you be both outside and inside at the same time? Do you understand it now? But if you know that you're a sinner, that you don't have victory over sin, you're not yourself. That's the truth. And we can deal with that. Okay? So it may be difficult to understand what I'm saying. Okay? I mean, in answering you back now, because you know what your realities are. Do you get what I'm saying? But if once we've dealt with that, and you are now saved, then you know that, okay, but what happens now if I stumble into sin? Then we can deal with that also, because there are provisions for when that happens. Like 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, I'm writing this to you that you should not sin. But if any of you sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay? So there's a way to deal with that. But if the first core thing is not done from what we have been saying, because I suspect that that's what you're saying, Abby, then let us deal with that so that you're saved properly. You understand? And then we can move on. Thank you for your courage. God bless you. Questions? Yes.
I have two questions.
Okay.
One deals with the topic of yesterday, where we read Psalm 58, verse 3.
What did it say?
That says, from the womb we are estranged. And yeah.
Speaking lies.
So, and then when I look at this Psalm 51 verse 4, that says from my mother's womb. And then let's look at Romans 2 that says, Romans 3:23 that says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God.
Yes.
So because I've had this kind of discussion with somebody before, and I said to the person once that a child is a sinner.
Okay.
That the sin we are really talking about is not the sin of the everyday, the light today and all of that. It's the sin of Adam.
It's in nature.
Yes.
Yes.
And the person said it's not so, based on the scriptures that Christ said, let the children come to me, that if anybody stops this one. You know, but because I didn't want to get into too much argument with the person, I just left it like that. So I want to know if a child who does not come to Christ and maybe never gets the opportunity to come to Christ, if such a child die or it happens that rapture takes place today, will such a child be given the chance that he is ignorant and allowed, or would he be judged as a sinner?
That's my first question. Very strong question. Very, very strong question. Okay, let me answer the first question, then you ask your second question. There's what we call the age of accountability. That is when a child knows his right from his wrong. Do you understand? By nature, is every child a sinner? The answer is yes, by nature, based on the sin of Adam. Okay? But when it comes to the physical sins of commission, or even sins of omission, you know, that is sins that deals with the knowledge of right and wrong, then that child will be judged. They are children in hell. Okay? Because they knew their right from their left. Now, but if a child dies, let's say maybe a two-year-old, and you see, it's not, we can't fix it on a particular age, because development in each child is different. So it will be difficult to say, from age 7, when a child, we can't say that, but God knows. You understand? Now, if a child dies, in that nature of, in that Adamic nature before it gets to the age of accountability, or the age where he knows his right from his left, he will not go to hell. And the reason is clear and simple. God is God. Who is God? And there are some things that we just can't ask him questions on. Because he's God. He, in his infinite wisdom, he could say, I'm not saying that's what he's saying. I'm saying he could say, well, it was the Adamic nature and all of that. But since the issue of Adamic nature is in the past, there's also the more recent issue of the sacrifice of Jesus. Okay, on behalf of this child, we give it. You know, it should be a righteous thing. You get it now. But we don't believe that if a child that is not yet, that doesn't know yet, yet know his right from his left, if he dies, goes to hell. That will not be correct. God will look too harsh in that. And the mercy of God tends more, because there's a particular and peculiar love that God has for children. You understand? And Jesus also mentioned that. Okay? Now, if rapture happens, I think it's the same principle. If they haven't reached the age of accountability, of course they go. If they've reached the age of accountability, but they are being brought up in the way of the Lord, I also believe that they will go. You understand? Thank you. Very good question. A round of applause. It so happened that I was the first person to become born again in my family, and I was also from a Muslim background. And my family is a Christian family today. They may not be perfect, they may have their issues. You understand? The testimony of your life will go far than whatever you are preaching. I don't know if you understand. Just emulate the life of Jesus in all you do. That's all you need to do. Don't preach to him. Stop preaching to him. Copy the examples of Jesus. Pray more for him. That's all you need to do. Where it first started for me was after 6 years, because I was the only one. After 6 years, my elder one started coming to me, asking me questions, counseling questions. Let me tell you, they have their issues, and it's plenty. I will be lined up, and I had nightmares for years. Then one day, in the midst of it all, I was 11 at the time. I was having a dream, and those nightmares began again and all. Sometimes a cow with horns would be chasing me, you know, man of any terrible things. It got so bad that I was afraid to sleep alone. I was a little child. Thank God for Jesus. Because perfect love cast out fear. Hallelujah. You know? And something was calling my name. Ibrahim! I'm telling you. So, I was trying to run. I couldn't run. And as at this time, I'm telling you, I was already a fanatic and a hostess. I was in secondary school. I was a fanatic. No, was I 11? No, I was 13. I wasn't 11. I was 12 going to 13. You know? And I was already a Muslim fanatic in the hostel, in our school hostel. I used to deride all the Christians. I used to laugh at them. All of those things. But as the thing was coming closer, nothing worked. All the cable didn't work. But when I said, in the name of Jesus, I had strength and I stood up. I didn't know then that you can stand up and confront them. I had strength to run away. So I used my strength judiciously. I ran away. So when I woke up, you know, the next morning, I just went to the head of the Christians in the hostel then. I said, I want to be born again. If you see the way they were there, like, Jesus is Lord. I'm like, was I that bad? You know? Because as at that time, I thank God I did not continue. Maybe that would have been those public, very, very fanatical. Me that whenever we are praying, like that, the was special at drying. You understand? So, but when I met the Lord, what did I simply do? I just continued following his example. So my siblings started seeing the changes. And today, to the glory of God, whatever I say, even in the extended family, it is law. Because I won't just talk because I want to talk. I will ask God what to say. And I will say, and they've ignored what I said many times, and they have suffered the consequences many times. So they have learned their lessons. That if he says something, just take it, because this one is the servant of God. That's all you need to do. Copy the examples of Jesus more. Live like him more. Pray more for your family and your household. Once God told me about my father, he said, I can change. I said, God, you can change my father. If you change my father, you are powerful. I was a little boy, you know. I didn't know that. But before my father died, he asked me to pray for him, and he knew I was a Christian. But at the point, we started debating in the house, me and him. started bringing up all those Muslim things, and I kept telling him, no, Jesus is the only way. And I wasn't saying that because somebody told me I've experienced him. I have touched him. I've tasted him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, that's all you need to do. Argue less. Reflect the life of Christ more. That's the Bible of the unbeliever. When they see your life. Because see, every unbeliever knows what Jesus should be like. They know. Even if Christians don't know anymore. Unbelievers know what a Christian should be like. So when you keep living the life, you are praying for him and for the rest of them. God who visited my family will visit your family in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. It's almost break time. Who else has questions so that I can see how we can use our time? Okay.
How can a Christian or a preacher or a servant of God generally fight discrimination?
Fight
discrimination.
Discrimination.
Like, okay. Let's say God sent you to someone now to deliver a message, and when you're telling the person, it's like, it shows you, like, don't tell me, I like, all the stuff. How can we fight that kind of discrimination?
Very good question. I want you to open to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians 1, 29.
For it has been granted to you, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him.
Also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. My sister, we were promised suffering. Do you understand? Was Jesus shooed? In some places, was he shooed away? He was. In fact, in a particular place, they took him to the edge of the cliff. They want to throw him down. They want to push him down. But he escaped from amongst them. You understand? So, yes, you will suffer persecution. You suffer verbal abuse. Okay? But not every time. Okay? And even some people that persecuted you, God may even later save them through you. Now, Jesus is our example in all things, including suffering. Okay? He was rejected. So he promised us also that we'll be rejected. Okay? So don't feel extraordinarily bad because you're rejected. Okay? I've been rejected in so many places. Even ministers. You understand? But I don't owe anything against them. I don't hold grudges against them. I don't feel bad because I knew that I'm supposed to expect that as a Christian or as a Christian minister. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-8130-5386, 080-8155-8176, 080-7455-8177, 081-409-9122-1, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life